The first two rounds are down, and we're entering this episode with round three. That's right, the greatest WrestleMania match ever tournament is still unfolding, and you're in this new episode, and that starts right now. All right, coming to you from the basement in the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York, this is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. El Matador, Christo Santana. Round three of the greatest WrestleMania match ever is about to unfold, and that's what you're tuning in. But we don't start anything. We get our socially distant clink going. We're keeping it safe, but we still drinking, baby. That's how we get down. As before we get started, because some good things happened this week.
Yeah, Chris, how about Eric Bischoff in the Hall of Fame?
Amazing. If you ask me, long overdue. I know you can't put everybody in on every given year, but it's more of a TV show now, right? It's all about the TV format. I thought he would have gotten in with the NWO, but at the same time, he deserves an induction on his own. Because there is no Monday Night War without Eric Bischoff. And I don't think WWE reaches the heights they do without WCW at that point, pushing them the way they did.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, after you had sent me the text about his, you know, his induction when WWE posted it. And I was thinking about what Eric Bischoff means to, you know, the wrestling business and what he's provided to it and given us as fans. And I know people generally, maybe almost by instinct, kind of credit the Attitude Era and Stone Cold Steve Austin as like the return of wrestling and breathing new life into it and bringing it back to the popularity that it saw during the Hogan era. And it became this global juggernaut that it is today. And I thought to myself, that may be true, but I would argue that wrestling kind of became cool again when the NWO started. And the NWO, we know that, you know, that was an Eric Bischoff kind of brainchild. I mean, I don't know if you agree, but I would say yes. As much as Austin did and the Attitude Era did to make the WWE make wrestling global, we may have not have gotten there if it wasn't for what Eric Bischoff and WCW did with the NWO and making that cool. You know what I mean?
Nah, I 100% agree with you. As I just said before, right? There is no, and I mean, disagree with you, with us if you want, but there is no Attitude Era without Bischoff. There isn't. Right. Because what was WWE doing prior to Nitro taking off? Right, they were doing all these comic book, stupid, gimmicky characters, these jobber occupation characters like Duke the Dumpster Drossy and all this other crap. And what did Bischoff do? Well, I'm going to get Nitro, and I'm going to be in every way that WWE is, I'm going to be the complete opposite. And he took it to a more realistic aspect. He used these people's real names, and he gave them some gimmick character, right? And the invasion by Scott Hall, thinking like that was Razor coming in from WWE, you know, before they got stopped for legal reasons, was great to kick it off. And he had these badass people. He made wrestling cool again. He did. And it was like, it was badass. You had all these college people, everybody all ages, watching Nitro, having these Nitro parties. Nitro and then parties, WWE realized, what the hell are we doing? Because we're going to get thrown out of business if we don't change either. And it forced them to change the times. And that's when you get your Stone Cold Steve Austins and your McMahon versus Austin and the rise of The Rock and the rise of the Generation X, mm-hmm. you know, because of what he did. And I know we like to say like, oh, well, he ran WCW into the ground. And if you ever listen to the 83 Weeks podcast and the Nitro book by Guy Evans, you know that, yes, was his stuff. Did he screw up at times and he's partially to blame? Absolutely. But TNT and CNN and Turner and that AOL Time Warner merger really fucked everything up too as well. Yeah. There was a lot more hands in the pot than just Eric Bischoff. And that's why I appreciate you know, the candor that he has now when he talks about his other stuff. He'll acknowledge when he fucked up. And he also acknowledges, like, this wasn't me. This was something else. I don't think there's an Attitude Era. If it wasn't him, there's no Austin McMahon, or maybe we would have got it years later, maybe not right away when we did. But his contribution to wrestling cannot be overlooked. And I think far too many times when we see Eric Bischoff, at least in the last few years, not so much recently, it's like, yeah, but he fucking ran WCW into the ground. And it's like, no, you don't understand what he did first.
Poor. Yeah, and I don't even think... I mean, does some of the responsibility fall on him for WCW going out of business? Probably. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think, you know, there are definitely, and listen, you know, what the hell do we know, right? But I think there are other people that need to shoulder probably more of the blame than him for the final year, that year 2000 and some of 2001, when WCW was just, you know, they were doing no business. They were completely awful. I mean, Vince Russo, when he went there, and all the stuff that he was writing into the shows was complete garbage, you know. So it's just like, right, there are other people that I think definitely deserve the blame, not just Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff's the easy target because he's the most high profile, I guess, executive, if you will, in WCW, yeah, that, you know, WCW had. But even when he went to the WWE, I remember watching that Raw in 2002.
Oh yeah, that was, he showed up, what a shock.
Yeah, and it was like, what the hell is Eric Bischoff doing there? And they completely, you know, this was before everything started getting leaked on the internet, but they nobody knew that was happening. Nobody expected it. But Eric Bischoff as a character on Raw was great. He was a great villain for them, a great heel general manager.
And him and Austin together as co-GMs and Raw was a great run. That was awesome. It was entertaining as hell. Mm-hmm. They had some good matches. Like when they did the Survivor Series team, was Steve Austin against Team Bischoff. Yeah. And then, you know, he had a couple of matches on his own. I mean, they weren't great. He's not supposed to be a wrestler, but he was a great character after the fact too for WWE. I think he's well deserving of this induction. I think, like I said, his contribution can't go understated for the amount of stuff that he did for the business in that time. I don't think that's hot at the end of the 90s into the 2000s without Eric Bischoff, man. And say what you will at Wrestling Guys PC. But I'm going to say a nice induction and congrats to E. Bisch. He gets the clink. Fantastic. Great induction. If you ever see him after the bell on Corey Graves, he was actually on that podcast, and that's when they announced to him that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. They released a little video clip, and he actually does get like really choked up, almost at a loss for words. It was a nice little moment then when you watch it. On the flip side, so something nice to something, I don't want to say not so nice, but I was recently, and I was just before we were recording, I told you, I was listening to the Talk is Jericho podcast, and he had, let me not say the big show, Paul White on there, AEW's latest signing. And, you know, Paul White doesn't come off as, he says, I'm not bitching. He does. And he says, I don't want to complain. They made me a good living here. But I can't help but think that it does come off as a little bit bitching, and maybe he's within his right. But one thing that stuck out to me was, I always thought, and maybe that was the way it was portrayed, or maybe Big Show, I said at one point, that Big Show was maybe looking to wind things down, looking to retire. And you saw him coming out for some Legends Night. He had a match with McIntyre at WrestleMania. He wrestled here and there, but he always looked like he was looking to wind the career down and maybe move to something else. And during this interview, he says the reason why he signed with AEW is because he wants to wrestle more. He wanted to do commentary, and he felt that WWE didn't want to use him anymore. And they were trying to putting him out to pasture, so to speak. Kind of, he keeps saying going to Shady Pines, like trying to retire him. And I always was under the impression that Big Show wanted to wind it down and not the other way around, which right. I was kind of shocked at. And here, and I have a little excerpt from what he said, there was one moment on Monday Night Raw where he said it was horrendous for him, where they wanted Randy Orton, when he was running down all the legends, when he was in the middle of the thing with McIntyre, to pretty much like pie face him or push him in the face and knock him down almost. And he's a giant. He says, you know, Randy's not going to push me down. I'll knock the shit out of him. And he said here, and I'll say it at the end, but then to go to the ring and sit on the ramp with Hogan and Flair and just to sit there on the ramp and then be called a has-been while I sit there and watch a match, it's just, you talk so much about respect for legends and respect for Hall of Famers, but anytime a Hall of Famer is around, they get run into the ground. And I mean, I can't help but say like that. Yeah, part of that is true for sure. You know, they don't always disrespect legends. I don't think that's a constant thing, but there is, when they bring them back, there is this thing of like, they want the heel to get over, so the heel kind of runs them down. Right. And he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to sit on the ramps anymore. He didn't want to be on a legends deal. He wants to do something significant. He talks about payoffs not being what they used to be. Meanwhile, WWE probably just had the most profit. They had the most profitable year ever. And the scripted promos. God forbid, his words, God forbid it wasn't executed like it was written. And other things, he wanted to do a Big Show burger where it was a patty that he marketed himself with his name on it, and WWE wanted an astronomical amount of money for them to allow him to put his name onto the product, where he decided not to do it after all. They wanted like seven figures up front and then seven figures 18 months later, and he was like, you know, this will be great publicity for both of us. You know, he was going to get a bunch of food trucks during WrestleMania weekend and serve Big Show burgers to everybody and stuff like that, and the money that they were asking for him in order to do it, he decided to back off. And it's crazy to me how they pull the reins on these guys so much that I'm surprised that more of these guys haven't left yet, you know?
Yeah, and I think this, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead of myself and start to get all conspiracy theory here, but this could be the start of a kind of a new trend of people leaving. And I think it maybe started a little bit with people like Nia Jax a few years ago who wanted to leave because she wasn't happy with her push, you know, and then what do? They bring her back and give her the title. Same thing with Sasha Banks, you know, there was rumors, I mean, people are going to believe what they want, but there was rumors that her and Bayley were like protesting them losing the women's tag titles at WrestleMania. Sasha disappeared for a few months after that, came back, and now here she is going to headline WrestleMania as a SmackDown Women's Champion. And the rumors, and she kind of alluded to it, but she said it in a different way on Stone Cold's podcast, that she was just unhappy. Dolph Ziggler has always said that he's unhappy and wants to leave.
But then they throw that money at you, and yeah, it's a different story.
They throw the money and then they stay. So then you start to see, like, all right, well, if they get what they want, they'll stay around. But now we're seeing a little bit of a different thing here, where WWE is trying to, at least on the surface to us, almost hijack any type of money that they're trying to make. And Zelina Vega was the most high profile one, where she left because they wanted her Twitch account. And she was like, no, so that's my thing. It's my money and I'm not handing it over. And now, you know, here we had Big Show wanting to do his own side thing. And they're like, yeah, we'll let you do it if you give us basically all the money for it. And, you know, what's the point at that point? So I don't know. I mean, I think the fact that AEW is around and we imagine that it'll only grow, it's probably going to be easier for certain guys to make the decision of that they want out. Like we heard Andrade apparently has asked for his release. You know, does that mean they just all jump ship and go to AEW? I don't know. But maybe Big Show just needs a change of scenery.
Andrade did confirm that he wanted out today. But he also, you know, I restricting people's Twitch accounts, restricting people's Cameo accounts, and... Yeah. You know, you're making all this money with all these deals that you're doing, and you're not letting them make money on the side. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure they're well paid, but there's other things that they want to do, and they're not allowing them to branch out. And they see people doing what they're doing and getting a little bit more creative freedom and getting more time to do what they want to do. People are just going to be like, why the hell am I staying here? I could be doing X, Y, Z, but you're only restricting me to do X, you know? And you see now Andrade's asked for his release. And then Vega left. You know, she got released because they restricted her Twitch account. She was like, okay, I'm going to start an OnlyFans. And they released her.
Nice.
You know? stupid. But I didn't think it was that type of vibe. strictly for gaming. She likes to cosplay and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, other avenues. You know, you see Paige has turned her Twitch under her real name instead of her WWE name. You're going to get to the point where are we going to see another one of those mass exoduses like during the Monday Night War where people are jumping ship to WCW or Impact or ROH because they get more creative freedom and more freedom to do other things financially. And then it's going to be forcing WWE's hand again to change up their policies. And maybe that's what's needed. Maybe these guys need to be like, you want me to restrict here? I'm going to go to this other company that has national television. I'm going to use my presence and my notoriety from this show and raise the ratings for this show. And I'm going to get to do whatever the hell I want without any other corporate interference. And then maybe they're going to have to be like, okay, well, we need to switch some shit up. Or they're just like, yeah, we just made a record for profits in this year. And we're going on Peacock now for another $1 billion deal. So F off, you're replaceable. You know, you don't know. I don't know. But I think it's time that they start looking at themselves because they're going to start losing a lot more people than they're trying to sign up right now.
But I mean, in the Big Show's case, I did feel the same way you did, that Big Show had just, you know, done all he could do there and that he would never really be put in a main event position or a high profile rivalry again. He feels differently, which is, you know, that's fine. If he feels like he can do it, then all the power to him. But maybe he just needs to, as they put it, learn a new hold, right? Just, you know, go to AEW where everything now is fresh for him. And the fact that it is national TV and we can still watch him every week, you know, maybe him, you know, Big Show versus Brian Cage maybe has appeal to it, you know, and we want to watch it. We want to watch him in the ring again.
Past Monday was the debut of AEW Dark Elevation, and I didn't get a chance to actually see how he was on commentary. But he did list guys like Brian Cage, Ray Phoenix and Darby Allin as people that he would like to actually step in the ring with, and Kenny Omega as well. But who doesn't want to step in the ring, Kenny Omega, right? So, I mean, yes, like as they say, go get a fresh paint of coat. Go learn something new. Go get fresh feuds. And maybe this will energize him. I know, listen, it's not like he can't wrestle. He can. He can cut a good promo. I hope it works for him. That's all I'm going to say. And I hope that WWE loosens up the reins a little bit on these performers, because eventually they're going to come to their senses and be like, why the hell am I still here if you keep restricting me in everything that we do here?
Yeah, and I'll say this before we move on. The whole thing about the scripted promos, he confirmed as much on the podcast. I didn't listen to it. You did. But he confirmed as much that it's just like 100% scripted. Got to stop doing that. You know, they have to stop scripting these promos. I understand if you want to make like an outline of things bullet points that you want them to touch on, because you don't want storylines to forget about certain things that are going on, right? But I'm going to reference, and I know you're going to get on my case probably, but Sasha Banks, a couple weeks ago on SmackDown, where she's cutting a promo against Bianca Belair, and I'm like, this is the corniest thing I've ever heard. Like, and I don't know if that's her or if that's what they wrote for her, but it came across as so just corny and cringy that I just wanted to change the channel. Okay. And if that's because of their scripted promos, they got to stop.
Okay. How dare you? All jokes aside, was it the one where she's cutting the promo and she's like doing that fake menacing laugh or something like that? She does it like a couple times. Is that the one I'm hitting the nail on the head here?
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago, her and Bianca. And I mean, it was just so corny and bad. And I was just like, man, like, is this her or is this just what they wrote for? Like, is this the writers being terrible?
It's on that note, it's the writers, right? But it's also delivery, right? You can't.
Yeah, delivery has a lot to do with it.
But then you also have to say in this case too, like, who's the guy that wrote Suffering Succotash for Roman Reigns and made him say it on a SmackDown promo? And Roman taking up the fight says, look, I told you I'd get that over. But who the fuck says, go out there and say Suffering Succotash? Who, first of all, who knows about that anymore, right? And Jericho says it best. Like, yeah, like, you may get some bullet points. Yeah, hit all these things on the head. And he's like, but, you know, he's like, the first time I cut a promo in AEW, this is the first time I had wasn't completely scripted in a long time. I was like, all right. Everyone says you're a good promo. Can you do it?
Right.
And he's like, well, I still got it. And Big Show, I think, said it best. He was like, you know, when I first went out there, he's like, I said the name of the pay-per-view wrong. Instead of saying Revolution, I said Evolution. And he's like, I didn't realize until the next day. And I went to Tony Khan. I was like, I'm sorry. And he was like, yeah, you know, big deal, man. He's like, everyone's still going to watch the pay-per-view. You were there. You plugged it. Everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows you screwed up, but they still know the name of the pay-per-view at the end of the day. Yeah. And I feel like that wouldn't happen in the other company. It's a shame. My not fear, but, and it's not that I don't mind if they go to AEW, but it's like you're losing your fan base. You're losing, you know, big chunks of your roster, and you're not developing anybody else to maybe take their place if they leave. That's the problem right now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, a Big Show, listen, he wasn't on TV as much, so it's not like it's like a huge hit. No disrespect to Big Show, but, you know, let's say Roman decides to walk. Mm. Maybe he doesn't because he's the guy there. But let's say Seth decides to walk, or Cesaro, or, you know, or Nakamura goes back to Japan, which, you know, may happen. Or Kevin Owens is like, F this, I'm out. What happens then? You're not building up enough equity in other wrestlers to maybe rise up and take those spots if somebody else leaves an opening. I will say that SmackDown, in terms of storylines, in terms of clear-cut divisions, is in a lot better standing than Raw is right now. Raw is a fucking mess. And I think I texted you this last Friday. I was like, SmackDown is the overall better show. There's just better storylines. There's multiple storylines going on as well. There's a clear-cut U.S. title picture. There's a clear-cut Universal title picture. And there's a tag team title picture. Raw, I don't know. And as we train quickly, I'm really not trying to going to see so you guys think we trash AEW every week, and we're all at WWE right now. But man, this past Monday, just they decided to have a match between Shane McMahon and Braun Strowman, and Shane McMahon apparently thought Braun Strowman asked for the physical challenge and dumps the double dare fucking green gack all over him from under the ring. This shit is so stupid. It's just so stupid. I hate the storyline and I hate where it's going. It was supposed to be a match for Fastlane, and now they've pulled all the advertising for it. It seems like they're holding it for Mania. And normally, listen, I support Shane. I like Shane 100% because he always gives his all in every match. But this build, first of all, the lines from last week that we thought he was stumbling over because he forgot his lines. No, that was intentional. And then the whole basis is that Braun thinks Shane was calling him stupid, and Shane's like, yeah, you are stupid, so now they're gonna fight. And then he dumps fucking slime on him. Like, what is this shit? All the language. Excuse the foul language. But I'm sorry, man. But for a Mania build, this is stupid.
I think it just goes to show that they wanted to put Braun on the card for Mania, but they didn't know how. And this was like something that was just thrown together. And it's like, all right, let's do this. Now what do we do? You know what I mean?
I think you had said, like, oh, yeah, look, he looks like he's on an episode of Double Dare. And all I said was, this is fucking stupid. And it is. And I'm sorry. And, you know, listen, you want to get Braun on the card? Fine. Find something else to do right now because it's not working with Shane. I mean, it's too late now at this point. But AJ's finally on the card. We talked about him possibly having a match. They gave the New Day the titles again over the Hurt Business in a very good match. But it was also the fifth or sixth time they face each other on Raw. Because there are no fucking tag teams. We've talked about this already. But now Omos is going to make his WrestleMania debut alongside AJ Styles in a tag team match against the New Day. That's if he's not shitting his pants now, I don't know when he is, but it's going to happen.
And expect him to win the tag titles.
Yeah, I think so too. AJ and the New Day will carry him to a really good match. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them throw in the Hurt Business as a third team, make it a triple threat, because I feel like they should have held it to Mania. I love what they were doing, Alexander and Benjamin together. Lashley's new entrance is cool as hell with the lightning. I really like it, man.
I like it.
It's official, him and McIntyre now for Mania. I really think Lashley should hold on to this belt, maybe give him halfway decent run with it. And it looks like we're off to the races right now. And Fastlane will get a clear-cut picture after the fact of this pay-per-view. First one on Peacock. Yeah. I've signed up. I haven't signed up for the pay version yet, so don't kill me. But the WWE Network is still good through Sunday, so I think I might just, for old time's sake, watch Fastlane through the network and then switch over to Peacock on that Monday. Moving on. Now that we're on the Fastlane to Mania. See what I did when I'm on the road? We're on the Fastlane. How you doing? You know why we're here, right? We get our little news and notes. We're doing our thing. Third round is officially the Sweet 16, and we in it. We went through our second round matchups last week. We had a few that were actually contested for the first time. We went through them. We went back and forth. We convinced one of the others so we could move on with some of these. Some I'm still upset about.
It's only going to get harder. Yeah.
But now, exactly, it's only going to get harder. We are in the Sweet 16, our greatest WrestleMania match bracket. Our tournament is here. We have our Golden Era, New Generation, WrestleManias 1 through 12, our Attitude Era, 13 through 18, our Ruthless Aggression / Intro to Modern Day, which is our 19 through 25, and our Modern Day Bracket, which is WrestleManias 26 through our most recent one, 36. You know how it goes. We're going to go through these matches. We're going to convince one or the other, or we may agree. I feel like on this particular matchup, as we get further in, I think there might be more disagreements. There might be more conjecture, so to speak. And because these matches were getting tougher, and we had some really, really tough second round matchups. The Savage Steamboat against HBK Razor from 10 was probably one of the hardest ones for me too. Austin Rock from 19 against Angle and Eddie from 20. I still think Angle and Eddie should have moved on, but Austin Rock did. And then we still have some good tough matchups. So since we started off backwards, I think I'm gonna do a little crisscross thing going on over here. And I think since we were just talking about Mr. Eric Bischoff and his induction to the Hall of Fame, we're gonna start with the Attitude Era bracket. I think that's the way to start it off today. And we're talking about WrestleMania 13 through 18, because in reality, the Attitude Era was only about 5-6 years long, which is crazy, right? Yeah. You praise it, and it was a very, very short time span. It's amazing to me. But let's start it off proper. Triple H, Jericho, main event, world title match from WrestleMania 18 against Rock Austin, world title match, WrestleMania 17. Some say the greatest WrestleMania of all time. So let's throw it to you, man. How do you feel this next matchup?
I think this is an easy one. Rock Austin from 17, I think, goes over here. We talked about Triple H and Jericho having the unfortunate task of going on after Rock Hogan. But, you know, they headlined WrestleMania. Nobody can take that away from them. They're two of the greatest of all time. But they went on after one of the most iconic matches in WWE's history, especially WrestleMania, Rock and Hogan. And I think the crowd interaction may have suffered because of that, but the match itself was still good. But it doesn't live up to what Rock and Austin did at WrestleMania 17. I mean, that main event, I mean, from start to finish, WrestleMania 17 is great. And then that's the one that just, you know, it puts the stamp on it, right? So two of the best ever. The big Austin heel turn that, you know, remains controversial because a lot of people have said that they would go back and change that. But
Austin included.
Yeah, Austin included. And but it's a great, great match, a great, great build-up. And I think this is probably the easiest one that we have right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Unfortunately, I feel like the way the bracket was set up, Triple H and Jericho kind of almost coasted. There was a lot of upsets, but the match they were going against weren't that great. And then they came up against a juggernaut. And you're talking about, and if I'm looking up these match ratings here, 4.5 stars, Austin versus Jericho. Austin versus Rock, what am I saying? From 17. And it is, the match itself is fantastic. Yes, the heel turn at the end, questionable. Even Austin questions it at the end, but he felt like he needed to change it up. He needed something new. And I don't blame him. Listen, sometimes things are a swing and a miss. You know, what are you going to do in this case, right? For me too, yeah. Rock Austin 17, it's very hard to not put that match over. For the record, Jericho Triple H for the championship, 3 stars. But The Rock and Hulk Hogan, which some say is the main event, also 3 stars. But again, this is one guy's opinion, not and the end all be all, right? All right, Rock and Austin move on. And then getting into the final match of this bracket, who is moving on to the Elite Eight? Is it, and this one's going to be a doozy, right? So now that we just talked about it, Rock Hogan, WrestleMania 18, Icon versus Icon. Some say the real main event of that WrestleMania against the submission match, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret the Hitman Hart, WrestleMania 13. A lot of people say Austin 316 started Stone Cold's rise to popularity, but WrestleMania 13, Austin Hart put him over the top, and this officially made him a star in this match. Oof, I don't know, man. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking, and we've talked about this before, story, spectacle versus match. And Rock and Hogan have all the makings of a great Mania match. Icon versus Icon. Hulk Hogan returning to Toronto, and you thought he was going to be booed, but he was cheered as the hero. Rock is the villain in this case, and they delivered. Okay? Austin Hart, better rivalry, better match, and I want to say slightly the more iconic moment in Mania history when Austin lifts up his head in the sharpshooter and the blood's pouring from his head before he passes out. On the flip side of that, too, like I said, I'm probably going to contradict myself here, which I don't give a shit, but the moment where Rock and Hogan are face-to-face in the ring and the crowd is just losing their shit and they're just looking around at the arena before they even touch, that's a great moment in itself, too, that gets replayed over and over again, as does the Austin Hart match. So, oh man, I don't know where I'm going here.
I'm gonna edge it out to Austin and Bret here. Rock and Hogan is great, and it had the build up to it wasn't as memorable, other than, well, maybe it was, you know, Rock and Hogan came into the ring and Rock came down and challenged him. They did that standoff there, and then Hogan driving that bus into the ambulance, remember? He said, "I'm going to cripple his ass NWO style." And yeah. Drove, like, the 18-wheeler into the ambulance. But then that was it up until Mania, right? And then they faced off. They had that. I mean, it's a good match. Not the best match, but it's good for what it could be. But just the crowd participation, like we said last week, made that match more than what it was. And the fact that the crowd turned on Rock and cheered Hogan, it was a great moment. But I think everything about Austin Bret is just a little bit better. You know, you have the maybe the best double switch ever in wrestling history. Bret Hart would go on to be really a great heel.
Underrated as a heel too, man.
Yeah, underrated as a heel. And then Austin would that was the start of him becoming arguably the biggest babyface of all time. And it was an outstanding match. So I give it to Austin Brett here.
I'm going to go Austin Hart too. And I think that the tiebreaker for me here is this. If you watch both matches on mute, Austin Hart is clear-cut the better match. Rock Hogan, the match is okay, but the crowd makes that match tremendous. Mm-hmm. But Austin Hart has a good match. The crowd's behind it. And just that shot at the end, man, just the blood running down his face. To me, this is going to be, Austin Hart from 13. But that was rough. This is it's rough, let me tell you. Okay. So there you go. Attitude Era bracket. The Elite Eight for them is set. We got Rock Austin, WrestleMania 17, Austin Hart, WrestleMania 13. 4 years apart. Make it into the Elite Eight. All right. Let's go. I'll let you choose the next one. What bracket do you want to go here?
Let's go to Modern Era.
All right. We're going to go Modern Day. WrestleMania's 26 through 36. Starting it off. So did you realize that in both matchups, there is a triple threat match? Yep. So we have the triple threat, WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan, Batista, Randy Orton, Miracle on Bourbon Street, against Undertaker, Triple H, the end of an era, Hell in a Cell match, Triple H, Shawn Michaels as the guest referee from WrestleMania 28. This is a tough matchup here. Here's the thing. Taker Triple H is a great match, has a great story, is a great build. Undertaker coming back from a year off at that WrestleMania to take on Triple H. HBK, who he retired. So like essentially, like had you said a few weeks ago, it was almost a two-on-one match essentially for the first part, half of the match, and there's just drama with right before he hits a tombstone, he tells him to suck it and then drops him down. And at the end, they're all hugging up the aisle. Did a great match. I thought it was great. It is a very good match. The triple threat from WrestleMania 30, though, while it's a great story and a great moment and great that the fans were able to, in this case, a good time that the fans were able to will their way into a pay-per-view and let Bryan into that match was fantastic. However, overall, both have great stories. Both have great builds. Now, what's the tiebreaker here? I think match quality. And for me, Taker Triple H, Hell in a Cell is the better match. And I'm going that way. I'm taking that route. Taker Triple H, Hell in a Cell, end of an era.
I think for the remainder of our brackets here, when it is going to get a little bit harder to choose, I'm kind of looking at it as, you know, if you said to me that I'm going to give you these two matches and you have to pick one and that you'll never see him again. That's it. In this case, I would go Undertaker Triple H Hell in a Cell. I think it's the better match.
Right.
It's the match that I would rather watch. The Daniel Bryan stuff is great. The fans, as you alluded to, as you said, they willed Daniel Bryan into that main event so he can win the title. The whole Yes movement was fun. But Undertaker Triple H is a better match. And I mean, that match was just exciting because there was moments where you thought Undertaker was finally going to lose. And, you know, he wouldn't lose for another couple of years. But, man, that was just a really, really exciting match. And my pick here.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same way. Yeah, if I had it like it's pretty much like you said, if I had to say, pick one right now in the show. And I always think about now, me being a father, man, I'm just kidding. But seriously, like my son now is 4 years old and he's become a big wrestling fan, which the day he was born, I was like, if you're not a wrestling fan, I may disown you. However, you know, when he says, hey, Dad, you want to watch wrestling? He normally picks the match that he wants to see. But we started this thing during lockdown where I was like, hey, you want to watch? Because his favorite wrestler, I don't know how, but I'm a proud papa, is The Undertaker. So we started this thing where it was like, let's watch all of Undertaker's WrestleMania matches. And when he watched that match, the end of an era match, he was like, the next day he's like, hey, do you want to watch Undertaker and Triple H in the Hell in a Cell? And I was like, yes, I do. So I did it, but it was just the fact that, you know, I feel like if I showed him that or I showed him the triple threat, he would want to see Taker Triple H more as well. And it's just that, not that it's a bad match. It's a very good match, but it's, man, Triple H and Undertaker, it has it all right there, man. Anyway, all right. That's moving on. Last match in this bracket for this round goes to... So before we start, because one of the matches, not the match, but the rivalry that preceded the year. So WWE actually released their own top 10 greatest WrestleMania main events. So not match in general, but main events. Okay. So their top 10 goes as follows. Lesnar versus Angle. This is from 10 to 1. Lesnar versus Angle, WrestleMania 19. Hogan versus Warrior from 6. Randy Orton versus Batista versus Daniel Bryan from 30. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania 31, which I need to go back and watch that match. I don't remember it being, not that it wasn't great, but I don't remember it being that good where I would add it to a top 10 main event. Rock Austin from 15. Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair from 35, which I think is actually too high on this list, in my opinion. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from 12, the Iron Man match. Taker versus Shawn Michaels from 26. Andre versus Hogan from WrestleMania 3. And number one overall is The Rock versus John Cena from WrestleMania 28.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
We knocked out most of those matches in our bracket.
Yep, that's because we know more than WWE. That's what happens. I don't know how you don't have Rock Austin from 17 on here
over that's weird.
Rock Austin from 15. I think that's the superior match in my opinion. But Rock Cena from 28, I like the match. But as number one?
It's surprising. That is definitely surprising. It is.
And to me, listen, you want to add the women's triple threat because it was history. At number five, I still think that's too high. I think I would actually list that as number 10. And you don't have the Mega Powers explode on here, man. I don't know. There's some issues with that list, and I feel like they update it every year to reflect the times that we're in right now. The reason why I want to put that there, because our next matchup has The Rock Cena, but from WrestleMania 29, not 28. And its opponent is the WrestleMania 31, which, yes, the WrestleMania 31, that's actually number 7 on this list. We called it the triple threat. They just call it Reigns versus Lesnar. But in reality, it did become a triple threat. It was Reigns versus Lesnar with Seth Rollins cashing in, turning into a triple threat, and winning the WWE title from the 31, which is listed as number 7 here. We have it making the Sweet 16. So where are you landing in terms of these two matchups here?
Let me think about this for just a quick second.
Absolutely not. I need to know about this.
Man, I think I want to go Rock Cena just because of, you know, the two generational guys going at it. I mean, it was the second time, you know, with our bracket here, WrestleMania 29 match, it was the second time, but now it's for the championship. Cena won the Royal Rumble. You know who's going over in this match. But I think I want to edge it out to them because, again, if you tell me pick one of them and then you can never watch them again, I would pick Rock Cena from 29. I think the Brock and Roman match is good, but it's mainly remembered for Seth Rollins cashing in and winning during that match.
And that's why I would pick it, because if I had to say, going on your criteria, pick one and you can't watch the other one again, you have Rock Cena from 28, and you have a match here where Brock Lesnar was dominating, and when Reigns looks like he was going to get the edge, you have one guy coming in and stealing the show, and it was one of the best endings to a Mania. I'm going to say it again. I think it's the greatest Money in the Bank cash-in ever. And it was genuinely a surprise in a time where we know everything because of the internet and dirt sheets and, you know, Twitter and everything like that. If I had to say, listen, pick one. My son loves John Cena. He loves The Rock. But I could always show him the previous year. I think 29 is a better match. I'm not going to lie. Whereas I'm like, yo, you want to see something really cool? I'm like, let's watch this match with Lesnar and Reigns and Seth Rollins. But now to play devil's advocate with myself, it is because Rollins is cashing that it is so memorable. Mm-hmm. The match itself is good, but – the cash in, I think, is what makes it great, not the match itself. So based off of that, I'm all over the fucking place. But who cares? I'm going to go Roxy in the 29 as well, based off of what I just said. My own argument is the best argument ever. So that's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Fizz. And thank you, Fizz, for both sides. But yes, no, I'm kidding, obviously. But yes, when I think about that, yes, it's. But if you have to really, really break it down, like I said last week, you got to get a little bit more granular with these things, man, and look at the little parts. And what's so memorable about that match, besides the hard hitting and Suplex City Bitch, which was the second thing that came out of that, was the cash in. And Rocket Cena is Rocket Cena on its own. And it's a good match. So I'm going to go there. Rock Cena 29. So there goes that. Elite Eight set for the modern day bracket. Taker, Triple H, End of an Era, Hell in a Cell 28, Rock Cena, WWE title match from WrestleMania 29. So there you go. Our bottom half of the bracket is making waves.
That's going to be some fun watching when we do this watch along for these remaining matches.
Yeah, it's going to be good shit. I just really hope that we were just talking about this before. I'm guessing that it's WrestleMania season. Peacock is going to have all the Mania matches. I mean, unless we're going to have to start looking stuff up on YouTube, but I'm pretty sure because of that, they will have all. I know they're saying that not everything's going to be there until the summer, but I feel like WrestleMania is something that you need off the bat, especially we're literally there.
Well, I got the email from WWE Network saying that the network will be good until April 4th, and then it's gone.
I'm going to toast them when they leave. Thank you, sir. Whatever. It's not like it's going anywhere. But anyway, let's go second to last. I'm going to go Golden Era New Generation WrestleMania 1 through 12, a.k.a. the Hulk Hogan bracket. Let's start it off. So making our way into the Sweet 16 here is the WrestleMania 1 main event, Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. The first main event in WrestleMania history against champion versus champion, Ultimate Warrior, the IC champion, Hulk Hogan, the WWF champion at the time, WrestleMania 6 in the Toronto Sky Dome. Where are you going on here? Two, legendary matches.
Yeah, two legendary matches. But I think, the tag match from WrestleMania 1 has made it this far. But legendary just because it's the first ever main event. I think here I'm going Hulk and Warrior. Because even though, if you listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast where he talks about this match didn't do the buy rates that they were hoping for because it didn't beat out the year prior to this. It didn't beat out WrestleMania 5. Mm. Warrior's run as champion didn't bring them the financial success that they were hoping. Not that they were suffering. But it wasn't what they were expecting it would be. Vince McMahon is not a fan, or at least was at that time, of babyface versus babyface, so they felt that the match wasn't all that it could be. I happen to think that this is, if it's not Warrior's best match, it's his second best match behind WrestleMania 7 against Randy Savage. But I really like this match. It's a match that I've seen a bunch of times, and I think here up against this tag match, This is an easy pick for me. It's Hogan and Warrior.
It is for me as well. The tag match from one is great, but it's great because it's the first tag match from WrestleMania 1. The match itself is okay. When you think about Hogan Warrior, and yeah, was it the match that I to be honest with you, I think it's a really good match. I think it's one of Warrior's greatest matches to me. I think WrestleMania 7 is his greatest match that we didn't include in this bracket. So send your hate mail to at WrestlingGuysPC. but it proved that Warrior, when pushed, could pull out the good match. People mm-hmm. shit on his career. Listen, rightfully so in most cases because he... That's a story for another day. I don't want to get into it. However, Hogan Warrior is a good match. And I'm going to go there. I think it's better. I think it has a better story. Has a better moment at the end. Champion versus champion, hosting up both belts. I know Hogan at the end said, when all the crowd is looking at me leaving the ring and not looking at the guy in the ring that just won, you know you have a problem. But if you watch that match, the people are cheering the shit out of Ultimate Warrior, man. It's just a little, revisionist history as usual. But was it the greatest world title run ever? No, they put it back on Hogan a year later. But for the time, people were out of their seats excited. All right, this is going to be the next one that I think is going to be tough. So, mega powers have exploded. It's Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, WrestleMania 5 main event for the WWF World Title against what some say is the benchmark or the greatest ladder match of all time. And I'm talking about HBK, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon from WrestleMania 10. So I know, listen, I know you're partial to the ladder match. I know the ladder matches you think is the greatest ladder match ever. But you did have a disclaimer last week where you said, I'm just not going to keep picking this match because of, you know, personal preference. But I do got to say that Hogan Savage is probably one of the best builds in terms of main event. A year in the making from WrestleMania 4 to 5 with the Mega Powers and Miss Elizabeth and the thing on Saturday Night's main event. And then eventually them just going, you know, literally just exploding and having this built in the main event at WrestleMania, which is I thought was great. It is. But when you look at HBK versus Razor, it was also a great story in its own right. HBK goes away. He had the drug suspension. He comes back. He has the Intercontinental title because he never lost it, but Razor Ramon's the Intercontinental champion, and they're building to this big, big match. And when they have the ladder match, both belts are hoisted up in the air. It's at Madison Square Garden. And for years, years, when they mention HBK Razor, it is the benchmark for ladder matches. Well, what do you want to do? I want to do HBK Razor. Absolutely, right? Anybody in any company will tell you that. And me personally, I like the match a lot. I think the match is fantastic, and I think it's one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. Definitely in my top 10. Hogan Savage is great, but I'm going to go HBK Razor. I'm going to take it off your hands. I'm going to go HBK Razor WrestleMania.
Oh, man. This is going to be funny because I did say last week that I'm not just going to keep picking HBK Razor because it happens to be one of my favorite matches ever. In this case, you're talking about two history-making matches here. Hogan and Savage, it's the Mega Powers exploding. It's the match that is credited for one of, if not the best storylines that WWF has ever done. WWE, whatever, comparable to Austin McMahon, right? And again, I know I keep talking about Bruce Pritchard's podcast, but if you listen to him talk about it, he says the same thing. You know, so you have, and it's a very good match. And Randy Savage, not only is Savage one of the best faces ever, he's also one of the best heels. Savage was a great heel.
He's one of the greatest all around.
Right, all around of all time.
Absolutely.
The match itself is really good, and it was a great cap off to a great storyline. Now you look at the other hand, you have a great story there too. Like you said, Shawn gets suspended, so he never officially loses the IC title. They kind of strip him. They make Razor win it. Now Shawn Michaels is back. I'm the real IC champ. Well, how do we settle this? How about a ladder match at WrestleMania? And that match, you know, the WrestleMania 10, I think, is a really good one. I think that one, that match steals the show on that card by far. I know you have Bret and Owen opening, but I think the ladder match steals the show. But it's history. It's not the first ladder match to ever take place, but it's the one that put ladder match on the map. And now look at where it's gone to. You know, TLC matches and Money in the Bank matches and tag team ladder, all types of different ladder matches. Because, and Bret Hart may have something to say about this, but HBK and Razor made it what it was. If you're taking these two matches, and like you, if you were sitting down with your son, and your son is like, which one should I watch? It's a tough choice. I think history, like historical-wise, you may want to show Hogan and Savage and be like, this is the match you want to watch so you can see like how WWE was able to outline their history. But HBK and Razor, you can make an argument for that too. This is really tough. Like I'm rambling here because I'm trying to figure out which way to go.
You're really stalling, man.
But just because you picked HBK and Razor, I'm gonna go that way too and say HBK Razor. But Hogan and Savage, I could have gone that way as well.
Yeah, so here's the thing. split. I feel like you might have went the other way. I was going to say, okay, so you know what? Which match got the better star rating as the tiebreaker here?
I would have to guess the Hogan Savage match did, right?
Nope. Hogan Savage match, 2.75, 2¾ stars. The ladder match from WrestleMania 10 got 5 stars.
Yeah, well, it's 5-star worthy.
It is. It is. But that's not taken away from Hogan Savage. But my thing is, maybe it gets lost in the shuffle, and maybe it deserves more recognition than it does. But Hogan Savage does not get mentioned nearly as much as HBK Razor for what it is. I think, personally, it's the better match. And I think that's why I went that way, honestly. But that is... Ooh, okay. So your Elite Eight bracket for our Golden Era / New Generation is Hogan Warrior, WrestleMania 6, HBK Razor ladder match, WrestleMania 10. And as we round out this week's round of Sweet 16, all right, we have, and this one I think might get a little tricky, but Ruthless Aggression, Intro to Modern Era, WrestleMania 19 through 25. Here we go. Angle, HBK, as in Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21 versus, from that very same pay-per-view, WrestleMania 21, the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match.
Oh, man. The Money in the Bank is history. It is. It's historical. Edge is the first ever winner of that. And that, I mean, his success off of winning that Money in the Bank ladder match also helped make Money in the Bank what it is and what it means to win the briefcase and cash it in. And Edge gets, in my opinion, he deserves a lot of the credit for helping make that match and what it means winning it prestigious. I'm going to have to go the other way, though, and say that Angle HBK is the better match. It's two legendary performers. And it's two guys that up until that point, we as fans were all dying to see in the ring together. When they finally collided, they did not disappoint. And they arguably stole the show at WrestleMania 21, even with the ladder match there. So I'm going to go on HBK here.
Yeah. I'm going to give you something real quick. Money in the Bank ladder match, WrestleMania 21, 4.5 stars. Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, 4¾ stars. So by a quarter, they're separated. That's how good these two matches are, man. This is Meltzer star ratings, not ours, but I'm just saying this is a journalist who has been covering wrestling for a long time. It's the end all be all. But these two matches are great in their own right. This Money in the Bank ladder match is historic, right? You had Edge, Benoit, Jericho, Shelton Benjamin, Christian, and Kane, right? They weren't doing anything, and the idea was, well, let's put these guys in a ladder match for the chance to win a contract to one day cash it in for a world title match of their choosing. And I think, for instance, when they went into it, they didn't know what they would do. Either they could cash it in for a future match or, you know, what Edge eventually did was after an Elimination Chamber match, like, hey, I'm going to cash it in right now. And it's become all that surprise. It's become watered down over the years. It's become really, really good at times, really, really bad at times. But this is the first one. It was excellent. But this Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle match is on another level. My favorite moment from that match is Angle is talking crap to Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels looks like he's just out on his feet and he's resting against Kurt Angle. And all of a sudden he snaps out of it, he pushes Angle's away, sweet chin music, and they're both just laid out. Yeah. And it just shows you how great the match. They tore it up that night.
Yep.
In terms of delivering, they tore the house down. And I'm going to agree with you here with Angle and HBK. Very, very close, though, in my book. This Money in the Bank ladder match was fantastic also. But this was a close call. Damn, man, this is good shit, as they say. As we round out this round, our last matchup of this episode is a doozy. This is how we do it. We save the best for last, I think. Austin Rock from WrestleMania 19. This was one of the ones that we split on last week. It was Angle Eddie or Austin Rock. We went Austin Rock from WrestleMania 19. The end of Austin's career. He has not wrestled since. Last match did not main event, but it headlined. It was one of the headliners against what people are now considering probably the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, WrestleMania 25, Undertaker versus HBK. Where do we go? Neither of them are main events. Both were headlining matches for the event. Both probably stole the show that night. This is tough.
A little easier for me, though. I think, you know, Austin and Rock, I know last week we split, like you said. The match that they had at this one at 19 is good. But I think for me it was just more about the ending of their historic trilogy. Austin's final match, like final, hasn't wrestled since. But HBK Undertaker is the better match here. I want to say easily, but that sounds disrespectful to Austin and Rock, but it's the better match.
No, it's not, because I think for me too, it's Taker HBK from 25, and you know, here's the thing here too. So we went back to the thing, right? Pick one and choose. You have two great Austin Rock main events before this in WrestleMania that I think are slightly better. I think 17 is the best one out of the three. 19 is just up there, but it's not as great. Whereas Taker HBK, I still watch it from time to time. And there is not one time where I'm like, man, this match is very overrated. No, this is it. This is cemented to me. Taker is one of the greatest WrestleMania performers of all time. It's cemented me. Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania because he could do it with anybody. And I don't know. It's just, if you haven't seen that match, if you've been living under a rock for 10 years, go turn this podcast off and go watch it right now, and you'll see why we actually chose that match right now. But yeah, I think Taker HBK 25 moves on to the Elite Eight. And listen, if this guy wasn't Mr. WrestleMania already, let me see here. Is in three of the Elite Eight matchups, Mr. HBK.
Yep.
Okay, we have the Rock in two. We have Austin also. Austin is in two as well. Taker is also in two. Triple H squeaks it in. Hall of Famer Razor Ramon and the Ultimate Warrior. Who would have thought that he would have made it to the Elite Eight, but he did. Our next matchup in this Ruthless Aggression Modern Day Era, just food for thought for the next episode. And this is going to be tough. Man, I think this match here might need a watch along, dude. Kurt Angle HBK WrestleMania 21, and then Taker HBK WrestleMania 25. You want to talk about high quality story, high quality wrestling? Both of these matches are yikes. Yeah. That's gonna be a tough one.
That's a good matchup right there.
At Wrestling Guys PC, where do you fall in the bracket? Did you agree? Did you disagree? Is there still matches that we're leaving out and you hate us for it? But I don't care. Our Elite Eight is set, and we move on next week. Only four of these matches move on to the Final Four, and this is. I can't believe we actually did an entire bracket here, but it's great. We're keeping it pushing. I get it. There are a lot of every week that we do these rounds, I think of more and more Mania matches that maybe should have made it, but at the same time, it's like, we had our rules. We gave the preference to the main event. We added in the ones that we thought should be added in after the fact. And listen, some made it to the cutting room floor. Maybe we'll have our own Snyder cut of our Mania match tournament that's being released this week. But it's just the way it rolls out. And it's not saying, listen, this is our opinion. We picked our matches and this is it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you feel it's the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. There may be one that's never made into the 64 that you were like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know? Randy Orton versus The Undertaker from 21, another really good match.
Yeah,
maybe you think that's your greatest Mania match of all time. You know, and it goes by a lot of things: quality of wrestling, quality of story. More importantly, your personal memory of it. You know, and I think there's a lot of things that go into this thing. That's why it's hard when these lists come out every year. Greatest Mania match of all time. Top 20, top 25, top 50, top 10. And, like, I'll look at somebody's list and I'll be like, get the fuck out. Are you kidding? I did the same. I did it when I saw it on WWE just now. But at the same time, that's one person's opinion giving you their opinion. Or maybe several people, you know? Doesn't necessarily mean you always have to agree with them. This is what they think. You may agree with some and you may not. And that's okay. And you may agree with us on some, and you may not. And that's terrible. You should like everything that we do. So, but that being said, I think we got a nice, nice Elite Eight coming up here. I think we got some good shit. And I think this is going to warrant, oh man, there's a lot of stuff going on this weekend, but I might have to warrant a few viewings of these things before I make some selections. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I think it's necessary as this goes on, because they're going to get harder to choose which one is better. Yeah, I may have to throw a few on myself.
That's not WrestleMania 21, dude. And I'm looking at this now because I wanted to look up the star ratings for the match. What a card, man. Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Bank match, Kenny Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle. You have Triple H and Batista, JBL and Cena. Cena wins his title for the first time. And then you have some shit matches like Trish Stratus versus Christy Hemme and Akebono against Big Show. But other than that, some of the other card matches are really, really good.
Yeah, that was a good WrestleMania, I think.
I can't get over Big Show and his little sumo thong thing. Just hysterical. That was, man, that's something else. Anyway, moving on. This is our matchup. This is our bracket at Wrestling Guys PC. How do you feel about our choices, our selections, as usual? You know where to find us, where you find all your wrestling podcasts. So how you doing? Who do you think, here's things before we wrap it up here. We've already seen Molly Holly. We've already seen Eric Bischoff. Is there anybody you want to see, this, if not in this year, eventually get a nod for the Hall of Fame that you feel is being overlooked? Putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, I think there's probably more than a few we could name. I think Owen Hart comes to mind, but we Never. Know that his family won't allow it. His wife won't allow it. Which is unfortunate, because we as fans, we want to honor Owen, but I can't sit here and criticize them for not wanting it. I mean, that's their decision, their choice. As a fan, though, I would love to see Owen Hart get the honor of being in the Hall of Fame. As far as others, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think who's left. I mean, Undertaker will absolutely go at some point. I thought he might have gone this year, but we still have some time before all of the inductees are revealed. The Rock at some point, has to go in. Triple H at some point has to go in. I'm trying to think. What about you? Who do you got?
So I'm thinking guys like Vader, who I thought should have got inducted. Unfortunately, he passed away. People like that, where I'm like, because like it's very easy to think, like, I feel like Taker might get the induction when they go to Dallas, because it's Texas, it's his home state. Rocco eventually will, right? Triple H eventually will. But when you think about these, like, and this is no disrespect, I'm not saying lower level, but these guys who are now like, of the forgotten generation here, Vader's one of the best big men of all time.
He's not in. I thought he was.
No. He inducted Stan Hansen that year when he was still alive, and then the following year he passed away. But guys like that, yes, obviously the go-to statement is Owen Hart. But it's great to see guys like British Bulldog get in this year. We were supposed to get in last year. I would love to see tag teams like Demolition get in. But, unfortunately, they're in the middle of a attempted lawsuit with WWE, right? But, guys like that who are like icons of the 80s that are still, for one reason or another, whether it's a personal beef with McMahon, or they're in the middle of a lawsuit, or maybe just, WWE just keeps looking them over, guys like that, and your unsung heroes, your Dino Bravos, your Canadian Earthquakes, and you know what, if Coco Beware can get in there, those guys deserve a spot as well. And no disrespect to Coco Beware, actually it is disrespect, but you know what I mean. On name recognition alone, he's getting in, but guys like that. But I mean, the one guy that comes to mind immediately is Vader. Vader was the first guy in my wrestling fandom that was like, dude, I would never want to be across the ring facing that guy. He looks menacing, And it was just the mask, the way he would throw his punches looked devastating, his splashes. And when he would just talk, I was like, dude, I would never want to be alone in a room with Harley Race and Vader at the same time. They're nuts. But anyway,
how about Lex Luger?
Okay, personal feelings aside, yes, I think he does deserve a spot in the Hall. for career accomplishments alone, he was one of the biggest wrestlers in the 80s and 90s, Lex Express and all that good stuff. And his WCW career was outshines his WWE career by far. Yep. He was a terrible wrestler, though. But that's, again, personal preference aside. You can't deny his spot. You know, a guy like that definitely deserves to go in. You know, I would also like to see the Steiner brothers in, but Scott Steiner's half crazy, so I don't think it'll ever happen.
The Steiner brothers definitely, you know, they deserve to be in. But yeah, Scott Steiner's too much of a loose cannon and no filter to get in.
And that sucks because you know why? I think they'll get in posthumously when either Scott passes away or they both pass away. And I hope that doesn't happen and maybe Scott could come to his senses. But he seems like the guy you'll give him an open mic and he's going to shit on everybody or tell everybody to go fuck themselves. Yeah, you know, yeah. So that's the thing where I get. And I think an episode of our maybe greatest tag teams of all time is in order. We talked about why Vince hates tag team wrestling, but I think we need to show people why we love tag team wrestling. I think we need to get into that. Maybe some great tag team matches as well.
Would it be fair to think of the ECW legends maybe getting a nod in the Hall of Fame? Like, is that something that's out of the question? Because WWE has expanded, you know, their Hall of Fame to include, and because they own it all, WCW, AWA guys, NWA guys, even some Japan guys. I mean, Tatsumi.
And he's on the Liger this year.
Liger is in there. I mean, if they're going to do that, I would right away say put the great Muta in there because he deserves it.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though he never works for them. But they own ECW. ECW has a place in wrestling history. It's contributed, in my opinion, a lot to what the Attitude Era was and the success of wrestling. And, you know, I think if you're going to honor the other territories, ECW should be included in that. So can you see guys like Shane Douglas, Rob Van Dam will go at some point, but like Sabu, you know, will the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, will they ever be considered at least?
To me, Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer are no-brainers. Rob Van Dam, because of his career also in WWE in addition to ECW. Tommy Dreamer, the same thing, because what Tommy Dreamer also did behind the scenes, and he was the ECW. He was an ECW legend. Guys like the Sandman, I don't know. Maybe for pure nostalgia factor or just they're in New York that year for WrestleMania and they really want to pop the crowd. I'm not trying to disrespect Sandman, but man, in terms of body of work, okay, whatever. Shane Douglas has been a very vocal and outspoken against WWE and other wrestling territories and other people like Ric Flair over the years and stuff like that. And will he accept that nom? I think he would, just to get the recognition. I think he deserves it because of what he did for ECW and putting them on the map, especially the night the line was crossed, that promo. You know, his work in WCW and WWE aside, which wasn't that great, you know, the amount of stuff that he's talked shit about, the Click and Shawn Michaels and, you know, all those guys. And will he get it? You know, people kill, business is business, bygones is bygones. And I think he might accept it. I think he might be deserving, but I mean, those are the only, I mean, listen, Dudley Boys are already in, but Dudley Boys were great in WWE. They had a great WWE career as well. RVD, Tommy Dreamer, maybe, and I want to say maybe because he's another one who's a loose cannon too, man, Sabu and Shane Douglas. I think those four, maybe, and RVD and Tommy Dreamer, I think, are shoo-ins eventually. Shane Douglas are like outliers.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Well, maybe they do something really crazy and just induct ECW as a whole. You know,
I can see that. If Paul Heyman, you know, takes the charge and they just induct the promotion. I mean, you're seeing stuff like, listen, it's bound to happen that people get, you know, get inducted twice, three times. Because when you do the individual and then you do a tag team or you do a faction, like Booker T is Harlem Heat, and as Booker T, Bret Hart is Bret Hart in the Hart Foundation, you know, DX and with Shawn Michaels plus him and his own, and NWO this year, you're going to see Sean Waltman and Kevin Nash and Razor and Hogan all get, you know, double inductees as well. So that's going to be bound to happen. I don't think people should be bashful because of that, because there are great moments in wrestling history. And there's certain people that deserve it because they're great. And those factions were great. You know, the Four Horsemen too. Could that happen? Absolutely. You know, yep. And I think people like, don't be surprised if you know, with the passing of Jim Crockett recently, if they don't try to put him in the, if they try to put him maybe in the legacy wing this year. The problem I have with the Hall of Fame is just that I don't understand why they need to do like a couple singles wrestlers at one tag team, one woman wrestler, and somebody who's dead. That's always just seems to be the
That's the formula.
And I don't understand that. You know, it could be you could do one. I think the problem is that if you do like two people that are dead posthumously, now it draws eyes to what they die of, how they die, what age they die.
It becomes a little morbid.
Right. It becomes a little morbid, and then it also brings eyes on WWE for the wrong reason. You know? Tag teams, I don't know why. Women's wrestlers, I think, you know, there could be a year where you induct multiple women's wrestlers. Like, I don't see why Molly Holly and Victoria can't go in the same year. You know what I mean? But I don't think it'll happen because they already got Molly Holly. There's no reason for somebody else to go in. I would also like to see, and I don't know if it happened because they keep talking about a physical Hall of Fame down the line. I would like to see them induct matches. And I see this with the UFC Hall of Fame where they induct legendary fights. And, you know, and they have the nice little plaque for the fighters, whatever like that. So, I mean, like, listen, like right off the bat, right? The first one would probably be like Savage Steamboat.
Yeah.
Right. You know, something like that, like legendary matches, maybe in their legacy wing or something like that. I don't know. This is me reaching, you know, it's something where you want to see something grow or maybe make it. There are ways to improve it. We will see, and we will see how this Elite 8 unfolds, but you know what you got to do? You got to wait until next week. How you doing? So, with that being said, I said let's put a bow on this. Let's wrap this up. So, we want to say you can find us where you find all your wrestling podcasts, iTunes, Google Play Store, Spotify. We everywhere, baby. You just want to look us up. 5-star review. You want to subscribe. You want to give us your comments to at Wrestling Guys PC. You want to give all your hate mails at FPP Show. You know how they do over there, the Fans Perspective Podcast. You were recording yesterday. What do you got down the pike? What's coming up?
So coming up, we got a lot of exciting topics that we're looking forward to diving into. And just to give just a few of those, you know, Justice League review, which dropped today, the Zack Snyder cut. Unfortunately, it's not getting good reviews, but have to watch it for myself and see. Then deep dives into such franchises like the James Bond movies, the Die Hard franchise, movie monsters like Godzilla and King Kong, and also something that I think will be a lot of fun to talk about is an 80s movies retrospective. Is the 80s the best decade for movies? I think that'll be fun to talk about.
I might have to join in on that one. Like, get out of here. That sounds like a great episode right there. You need to call me up on Skype. I'm ready to Skype in for that one. Awesome. You know what? If you're a fan, this is a great release week. You're talking about the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier and the Snyder Cut being released in the same weekend. In 2 weeks, you got Kong versus Godzilla. I mean, let's get it going, man. This HBO Max release stuff is really great.
And you got Fastlane Sunday.
And Fastlane Sunday, official move to Peacock is in order. Do you think we see, and this is last minute things, do we see anything significant at Fastlane at all?
No. Significant, no.
I think this is all one big build to WrestleMania. And
except, maybe I'll backpedal a little bit. Sasha and Bianca winning the women's tag titles.
I think that's in order, too. I thought they were going to win at the last pay-per-view. Yeah. I think they're going to do it now because they love doing that storyline of the two foes become tag champions. They've done it so many times before. And that's happened before, right? Cena and Shawn Michaels were the tag champs going into WrestleMania. And they addressed that last SmackDown, but we did it first. How you doing? So, wrapping it up here, guys. I want to say thank you to everybody who downloaded, listening, subscribing, getting at us at Wrestling Guys PC, at FPP Show. And with that being said, greatest WrestleMania match, Elite 8, is kicking off next week. Make sure you tune in. And it's been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We're going to talk about wrestling, drink some virtual beers. We're just about all about our virtual beers. Take care. We have the Quincy Cito deal.